The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Once again, to be flabbergasted by the rolling tongue, the juggling of words, thoughts, and phrases, like a Spaniard on a tightrope, here is the one, the only, the man of 2 hours, Frank Cottolo.
Good job transporting that large sleeping ape aboard the ship.
Thanks, Skipper. It was a lot easier once we realized he's not ticklish.
Now, Mr. Denham would like to talk about going back to New York.
First off, I want to thank you boys for your hard work and heavy lifting. We're lucky to have made it up that island alive. Now, I have plans for something the world has never seen before. Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
One boy in every minute, right, boss?
And one small thing. When we get back to the States, nobody say anything about the dinosaurs.
What are you talking about?
All right, settle down, you bugs!
You see, the public can be, well, fickle. They may not be as impressed with the big gorilla if they heard we could have brought back a brontosaurus or a tyrannosaurus rex. So as a favor to me, I'd appreciate it if you didn't mention that Skull Island has real-life dinosaurs. Okay?
Now you wait just a minute. The existence of these creatures changes everything we know about the species, evolution, and the geological timeline.
Big talk for a sailor.
I'm just working here to pay my way through graduate school.
I'm prepared to offer you boys a piece of the action. Play ball with me, and for a small fee, you'll all be backers on a spectacular Broadway show about Kong.
What's the show about?
Well, certainly it would feature Kong, the eighth wonder of the world, and we'd get him to do things. We'd retell the breathtaking story of how we captured the beast. Just minus the parts about the dinosaurs.
No!
There's really not much of a story without the dinosaurs. Otherwise, we get to the island, we interrupt a monkey wedding, we walk around for a while, and we bring a gorilla back.
He's got a point. The dinosaurs really spice it up.
We don't need the dinosaurs. We'll just play up the stuff with the savage Negroes. Work with me, fellas. You gotta expect this sort of thing. It's 1933.
I still think it's a flimsy premise for the legitimate Broadway stage.
Oh, really?
Rico says without dramatic conflict, it's just a glorified sideshow.
Is that a fact?
Look, when you said this was going to be a movie, I bought into it. Massive spectacles, big apes, thrills and chills for a nickel, plus a newsreel and a short subject. I'd pay for that.
But the theater demands a level of truth in life. You know, mirror up to society type of stuff.
Or dinosaurs. The theater could always use more dinosaurs.
That's right. Hey,
don't forget. We don't just have a beast. We also have a beauty. Ann Darrow? Come on, the acting discovery of our generation? She'll have the boys lining up around the block to hear her scream. Now, come on. Don't tell me you have a problem with Anne.
Listen, Carl, she's a sweet kid, but she just doesn't have it. Call it glamour, presence, pizzazz.
Talent. Okay, there's no need to be mean about it.
She stinks, boss. Let's just say that I never believed she was scared of being eaten by an ape, even when she was about to be eaten by an ape.
Well, just listen to you negative Nellies. So you're telling me nothing will put this show over?
Well, dinosaurs.
Yes.
Thank you.
Chloe.
I said knock it off with the dinosaurs. There's only room on this boat for one prehistoric monster, and I made my choice. Gorilla. Gorilla all the way.
They got gorillas at the zoo, Mr. Denham. Ain't nobody ever seen a dinosaur before.
They got lizards at the zoo, too.
Technically, dinosaurs are more closely related to birds than lizards.
That's enough out of you.
Look, when we get back to port, I want no more talk of dinosaurs. We'll pad the show with chorus girls and baggy pants comedians, a raunchy magician. The show will run forever. We'll be rich beyond our wildest dreams!
Yeah! I don't know about this, Denim.
Trust me, we can't lose. We have the worst play, the worst actress, and a giant gorilla. It's gonna close overnight, and we'll run off with the backers' money.
Well, what if the play's a hit?
How can it be a hit? It's a giant ape. You think people are going to pay Ticketmaster fees to see a giant ape?
Okay, but what if the gorilla goes on a big rampage, kills some people, tears up some train tracks, then blocks 33rd Street and 5th Avenue with his enormous bullet-riddled corpse?
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Next stop, Broadway.
Control over there, you know what I mean?
The Board of Broadcasting.
Time to follow the bouncing ball. Brace yourself for the shock. Keep your eyes covered. Read the fine print. Talk to the hand. Do not bend. Fold or mutilate. Sunburnt sicklemen of August are weary. Here we go into a September May holiday. Wake up. It's night. Philosophical entertainment. Relevant irreverence. Netarati. A couple surfers. Netaholics and infomaniacs. Curious yellow time. What?
冰球到冰球，小村到大市， 咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心。 Hi, Cthulhu Chronicles.
Hi, from ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city. Shut up with that thing. From Hamlet to city. From Hamlet to city. From Othello and into every Bordello.
And as I miscued that there, that's live radio for you. These things happen, especially when there was never a time I did. Well, actually, that's not true. There were times I did live radio just like that. I'm the producer. I'm the controller. I'm the engineer. Controller. I'm the author. And the talent. They actually call it the talent. Who's the talent today? Who's talent tonight? I wouldn't say who's on. Who's talent tonight? Who's the talent? Oh, my goodness. Yes. Well, we're definitely on track with that. What is it? Y2K plus 13? And yes, we're looking at right now, mid-September, live here for our Cotolo Chronicles, put into the archives at Juiced Talk, and all the great things that I have to tell you before we get involved in a show of many thoughts. Too many thoughts. There are always too many thoughts to be able to corral them into one focused conversation, monologue, whatever you want to call it. And none of it emanates from me. I don't mean I'm telepathically getting signals. What I mean is that none of this is on a particular agenda to comment, to criticize, to judge, or discriminate against. How can you discriminate for? And you know what? You can. You can discriminate for something. So that's why they say discriminate against. You can discriminate for something because it means you're biased. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I'm because for some reason or another, and I don't think it has anything to do with anything other than, yeah, another one. You know, I'm trying not. Oh, geez, I think I killed that one. There's spiders everywhere. I have found in my netting of the screen from the windows that look out of this studio the most beautiful, glorious, and still. They're very still. They didn't move creepy-like, or they're very still. A beautiful spider. I still don't know how to tell poison spiders from regular spiders, but I think most spiders are not poison. But there's some arachnational information, and some of it pretty darn funny here, because it covers matters. It doesn't cover matters. It flows into a pop culture stream, which we'll talk about on this show. And I just brought that up because I wasn't going to bring that up right now, but just to show you how this show goes in terms of recency, spontaneity. See, when you're gonna say something, say the closest thing to what you're saying, which gets you on track to say exactly what you want to say, which negates the almost and gets right to the point. In the meantime, in between time, this is right in the middle of September. Beware the Ides of September. Let me tell you a little about what's happening before we talk about. Oh no, you know what? Before I tell you what's happening, because we can go into that before we go into the main topic. But I'm watching the news tonight, and it was announced that Voyager 2, this practically antique spacecraft, seriously, an antique spacecraft, 30-something years ago, Voyager was launched to go keep going. It wasn't going to go around anything. It was just going to keep going. And as it went and passed by planets, it would take pictures and send them back to Earth. And it would show us pictures of Earth from way out there. It would show us pictures of Saturn's rings. And we learned an awful lot. But eventually, what happened? The Voyager ran out of universe. I think I'm saying that right. It's our universe. No, universe is the universe. Our universe. Yes, it ran out of universe. It ran out of our universe. And that is the space that covers, that is with our sun's in the center, and then there's, you know, Mercury, Venus, Mars, us, whatever. Voyager is gone. And it's still working. It's not broken. And it is antique. And this is the two fascinating things about this. If you're listening on your iPhone or your Galaxy phone, your Android, it's funny that's a science space name, Android. It's not a, well, I mean, you know, you think of robots and stuff. If you're listening on that and you're holding it in your hands, or just look at it for a second if you're not holding it. Why would you hold it? Maybe you got earphones and it's sitting there. Look at that. That phone, and those of you who are listening on a computer or listening on an iPod or whatever, this goes for you too, but I just to point this out, that phone is 100,000 times, and I'm not making this number up, but I am. What I mean is I'm telling you that it is let's use 100,000 times, because I don't know the scientific measurement of how this works, but it's 100,000 times more intelligent, and it stores, you know, more data than and it's just more sophisticated by a huge margin than Voyager. Because when Voyager was created, when they built this darn thing, they didn't have the technology that we have today. That was only 30-something years ago. So this is a real Hallelujah Trail story. Because that thing out there, that Voyager, this crazy-looking, big, clunky, it's a clunky machine. I'd say clunky works well to describe Voyager. It's clunky. You know, and it has and listen to this, it has stuff. It's carrying communication to, if it should run into life forms that are looking around, floating around out there or flying around out there, if it ever should, it has a disc that, like a LP, long playing record. And don't ask me how this thing doesn't, like, you know, freeze or get cold. I don't know. It's still gigantically scientific. Gigantically scientific. It's still, you know, out of range of my intelligence 30-something years ago. And just to show you, now, forget it. Okay? But it has a disc. They didn't have CDs in those. How did they not have CDs? You know? You know, I look at things, simple things, each day of my life. I'm in a restaurant. And I look at the ketchup container, ketchup bottle, which is now A, it's plastic, and B, they've finally put the lid on the bottom. Because when I was growing up, it was a bottle, something like a Coke bottle, a bottle that could, you know, it cracked, it hurt you, it spilled, it broke, it was a mess. Now it's plastic, and you would have to hold it, and then hit it, you know, it hit it in the back to get the ketchup out, because the ketchup was so thick. They even made commercials to sensationalize upon that with that Carly Simon song, Anticipation. They show someone, you know, hitting the back of the ketchup bottle, because anticipating when the ketchup's coming. I say it's worth the wait, you say. But I look now and I go, why didn't they make this 30 years ago? Is this so complicated? This is, then that's just a ketchup bottle. I'm amazed. Can you imagine when I'm sitting there watching a Voyager and they got this cartoon, which is still this, you know, this dramatization cartoon artwork, which is still better than any artwork, you know, you've ever seen. It's CGI stuff. And it's this big clunky thing, and it's nothing streamlined about it. It's a big clunky thing. There's plenty of room out there in space, so it's not going to bump into anything. Actually, it can bump into something. But anyway, it has these discs, and then on the discs, it has all this information. We are human. We do this. We do that. You know, we bathe. We wash our clothes. We drive in cars, whatever, flying planes. And we made this, and this is us, and we go out there, and we have kids, and there are families that are different cultures, and there are family, and good guys and bad guys. So they it tells the aliens all that, as if the aliens care, first of all, as if they care. Do they care? I don't know. That's number one. If they're that smart, they probably know we're here, and they're just staying away from us. That's the way I see it. See, because if it's true that UFOs are here, and they're landing here, then even as we speak, I'm what's crawling across the floor right now is this. It's like that monster in the, it's that tarantula in the tarantula movie. Hold on, I got to get back to this in 1 second. I got to put something on this. I got to get this guy. Where you? Oh my God, this thing is so big you won't believe it. What do we do? Here, let's put something on it. What? I don't think it'll hurt us, but I can't. There's nothing to put on it. Here, I know what we'll do. Here. Da-da-da-da. Okay, it's trapped now. Why did I trap it? I mean, here I'm talking about this thing that's like parsecs out in space. And, you know, a spider, which is what? You know, nature. It can breathe in there, won't die. So here's this, so here I'm saying that they have this, the aliens, if they run into a Voyager, they'll learn all about us. But there's not just that thing that's like a record player. I mean, how do we know they know how to play these things? They also have 8-track. Do you believe this? There's an 8-track with information on it so that the aliens can, when are they going to put it in? We can't even play 8-tracks anymore. We can hardly even play old albums. Retro aliens. Maybe that's who they're going to meet. Retro aliens. Well, I guess the most amazing part of it all is that Voyager has left the universe. It's in the solar system. Oh, wait a minute. Has it left our solar? Wait, well, no. Maybe that's the other way around. I know. Wait, it left our solar system. That's it. And it's out there. It's gone. Left the solar system. It's gone. It's out there. It's literally where no man has ever gone before. No less a big, clunky satellite thing. That's why I never worked for NASA, because I described it. That big clunky satellite thing, how's that doing? You mean it left the solar system? It must be, yeah, solar system. It's gone. And it can still take pictures, but here's the deal. It's in order for it to keep going, they have to turn things off on it because it's running out of energy. it's running out of energy. You know, if they had made, well, and they make it now, I guess it would last, I don't know how long it would last. They would know how to do it. But it's running out of energy. And wouldn't you, if you left the solar system, I mean, it's taken 36-something years to get out there. The guys who created it have aged quite since then. And they're very happy. It was very, very satisfying. I really had a good time watching these guys smile. And I was like, wow, because I feel like, you know, I left. I put something, like I threw something out there and it left the solar system. Think about this for a second, would you? I mean, what have you done? Right? What have I done? Forget about you. Just think about me for a second. And you could ask yourself the same question. What have I done? Was I able to? I mean, I could let a balloon go. You know how balloons just keep going? And you lose your balloon. It just keeps flying. Floating. And you like to think, oh, Jesus, it's gone. When I was a kid, they you know, the wishes, the little pieces of white. I don't know what they call. We called them wishes. I have no idea what are these things that come off of the plants. You say, catch one of those things, you make a wish. They call them wishes. You make a wish, and you blow it, and it would go up. And you're saying, like, well, it's going to go to heaven, and it'll get to the wish department, you know, because there's this department where, this is what they wanted you to believe, there's this department where these things, when you wish on them, because you caught them, you know, you're one of those lucky guys, and you blew it, and it went up there to heaven. Now, I don't know if, at the time, I didn't think, like, heaven, when I was a kid. I don't know what I thought. Who remembers what exactly you thought? I don't remember what I thought, but I knew I did it. You know why I did it? Because of every possible excuse we give ourselves, and it's not just innocence, about the great unknown things. It's because we want to believe that. See, we don't want to believe anything else. It's a desire to believe that we're more than this. And that it's all more than just this. Yeah, but so you blind him, but so what do I expect? I expected it gets up there. I used to watch it as it and I didn't know if that's further than the solar system. Like if somebody said to me, you know, you made that wish and you blew it and it went out there and it went to heaven, which by the way is even further than the edge of the solar system. And I'd be like going, wow, that's like far, man. That's like far out. I didn't talk like that. Besides, I was little. Nobody was talking like that. That was before. It was like, dig it, man. I said, it was beatnik time. Dig it, man. That's like, hey, that's like groovy, man. No, I wouldn't even say groovy. I don't remember the lingo. But for God's sakes, it's on its way to heaven. And then it gets there because that's, apparently, when you hold it and you make the wish, you blow into it, you give it the energy it needs to get to heaven. However far there it is, the journey may be to get to heaven. This is not like the Voyager, which is running out of energy. The wish never runs out of energy. Just the fact that you got it, you caught it. That's why it's there. You got it, you caught it, you blew in it, you made your wish, let it go. Even though it's crumpled up, I don't even know how it flies. I used to wonder that too. I used to go, oh boy, don't fall down on me now because I held you too hard. Because you know, if you grab one of those old things, you crush all the stuff around it. And then you got to blow it away and it looks like it's going into the ground. So you're like blowing, you get something, you start wishing, no, up, go up. And you trust it's going up, but you're like, there's a part of you that goes, you lost it, you held it too tight. It was something you didn't know about making that wish. But the wish goes up there and it finds its way, however long, however tedious, however dangerous it may be for this wish to get there. And it gets to the wish department. I guess there's a whole bunch of people. This is what we thought, people. We didn't think they were little green things or something. They were people. And the wish department, and it got up there, and I guess they registered the wish or something, or they put it into some kind of a book, a list, and then the list went off to whoever granted those wishes, be it a god or maybe the god's wish committee. I don't know. I didn't know then. I don't know now. But Voyager has left the solar system. And that has a very big impact to me, with me, that it's gone, and they're turning off little by little, and I don't know how they do this. It's so far away. You know, I got a remote for my television. I go in the next room, I can't turn the TV sound off, or, you know, I can't do anything from the next room. These guys, this thing has left the solar system and they could still turn things off. Maybe they meant automatically. I don't really know what they meant. Things were turning off automatically because it's been out there so long. I don't know. So it better find something else quick. It better take a picture and send it back of like a huge Steven Spielberg-like vehicle or something, or, you know, Wellesian. You know, that would be great. Suddenly you get this picture back. Mine hasn't been out of the solar system for 3 days, and it sends back a picture of this huge vehicle. Why, it's bigger than the moon, our moon. Fascinating. It's probably going to find nothing. There's a whole lot of, it's like a lot of stuff going on out there. A lot of nothing going on out there. I just think that's amazing. And you should think it's amazing, too. I don't know how you wouldn't find it. How do you say to yourself, hey, wait a second, who's going to be in the playoffs? How is that more important to you? Is anyone out there? Is that more important to you? How are they going to be in the playoffs? I'm thinking about things that dwarf other things. You know, the little things keep us going. I know that. The little meaningless things in life keep us going. The big things aren't just, stay away from the big things. If Voyager, listen to me. Whoa, Freudian slip. Ding, 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 ding. Voyager, I called it. I'm waiting to hear from my shrink on the phone. You said Voyager. What did that mean? Wow. I had to be a Freudian slip. If Voyager has left the solar system and a person, those smarter, though maybe older, and any other different things in the character or personality about this person and those people created that thing, we're all in the same race as me, are humans. If they could do that, they can do that, certainly. Certainly. There must be something. I mean, I don't even know how to top it. I don't even know what to say. What am I supposed to say? That I'll do something great? I'm not going to do anything great like that. Wow. So you think about it tonight when you go to sleep. Or tomorrow when you go to sleep. Or tomorrow when you get up. My name is Frank Atolmo. A man whose name adorns the title of the show. I am the Bard of Broadcasting. I believe it's this weekend coming up, if you're listening live, and if you're not listening live. And you might have missed it if you're listening on a replay before Sunday, the 15th. The Artist D Show will feature moi, the Artist D, because that's the Artist D Show, and Velvet Steel. We are the residents of JuicedTalk.com. And all of you people out there, any one of you people out there, can go to Juiced Talk, download archives of this show. So we have to make it simple. Even though we're on scheduled times at other stations, we have to make it available to those who will listen only when they can, on their phone, on their iPad, on their iPod, on their computer, or wherever. JuicedTalk.com. There's a lot of other things going to happen there, too, because there's streaming music and all sorts of stuff going on there as well. So Sunday, I believe Sunday, it's this Sunday, maybe it's next Sunday. Now you check, go to theartistd.com and check. And you can hear the three of us in a very rare situation that we're there together, the three of us. Not there, I mean, we weren't live, we were Skyped. Still rare, because we don't often, the three of us, get together, even on, you know, that. I got a feeling that what just happened. No, I was wrong. Okay. So my feelings are wrong. They're not wrong. They're just that particular sense was wrong. So you can get that on Sunday, or go to theartistd.com, find out. I believe we did it so it will be on Sunday, but maybe it'll be on next time. And I might, and when I get snippets of it, we'll run it on this show, because we've got a couple of things coming up in the next couple of weeks that we know about. Tom Savino will be in next week, next Thursday, September 19th. More about the male brain, because I think we talked about the female brain and parenting. I've totally forgotten what we did. So you could find out by going and downloading it, unless you remember already. I know a lot of you have better memories than have I. 926 is empty. We don't know what's going to happen on 926. But there will be some activity, because the show just goes on and on. There's no seasons. This isn't like, this is still season one. Because in order to have a season, you have to have some kind of break. We just keep going. I mean, once in a while, there's not a show, but it's usually because something dire is happening. Or something so important that it takes, or it's an act of God, as they call it, with the technology. And tonight, we almost had that here tonight, because they kept calling for these gigantic thunderstorms, and we had a big thunderstorm, and you can even call it a gigantic thunderstorm, but it was gone by that time, and everything's fine, electricity's on, that's why you're listening live. 919 Tom Savino, or Savino Cotolo Chronicles, 26, I don't know, and then October 3rd, Heather Drain is back. We're talking about Dracula, Dracula literate, Dracula cinematic, Dracula theater. Dracula music. Listen, Dracula, not necessarily vampire stuff. Not teenage vampires. I was a teenage Dracula, Dracula, Jacour, Vlad the Impaler, okay? The original Bram Stoker creation. It was not a creation. It was, again, a neo-postmodernist creation. From a real figure in history. Heather knows more about this than almost anyone. I know some things about it, only because I retain useless information Someone said to me once, more than once, you know, if you retained the kind of information that was important, the way you collect useless, trivial information, you'd be a smart guy. Or you might have done other things. But you know, I never agreed. I always argued that. I mean, I don't tell my brain what to retain. My brain is probably retaining everything. It's just not making available consciously certain things. Other things it's making available consciously. Maybe they're impractical and ridiculous, but they're just things. As interesting as, and I hate that word, as fascinating as attractive, excuse that word, as attractive those very little things are to me, and they still don't take precedence over being in awe of a Voyager leaving the solar system. That just negates so many things. Whew, I got to come down to Earth. That's something down to Earth. That's the phrase too we use, right? I must be down to Earth about this. Once we got our feet on the ground, be down to Earth. It's like we're up there flying around, floating around. But then again, an astrologer told me. He said, "You know, you're Sagittarius. You're always looking up in the air. You're always shooting arrows in the air." I shot an arrow in the air. It fell to earth, I know not where. But I had to say it that way, so it would rhyme today. Is that, I've shot an arrow, is that a song of Hiawatha? Yes, I think it's a song of Hiawatha. I shot an arrow in the air, it fell to earth, I know not where. It's not powwow. Powwow, the Indian boy, loved all the animals. Started a bad key. Powwow, the Indian boy, loved all the animals in the woods. That's not, you know, I don't know. It's not a very good image. Tom Savino, 919, Heather Drain, 1013, and God knows what else is going to be going on here. I'm the Bard of Broadcasting, and you are here with me. As we replenish our precious bodily fluids, of course, you know what that means. And you know, I'm really down to like one liquid a show. I think it's because I don't want to. I should. One night I will not take my medication. I don't like to mix the medication with the Yukon Jack. And then sometimes I'm here after having a full dinner and like 3-4 glasses of wine. Some have already gotten a little skewed, or as my father would say, you already put a bag on, fell asleep, got up, and I don't want to come down here and just start guzzling that smooth, but I still love Yukon Jack, and I have bottles of it left. A bottle. Okay, bottles somewhere. But I have coffee over the lips and through the gums. Watch out, stomach. Here it comes. And I'm going to have the coffee. Netarati. And I hope that you are all replenishing your precious bodily fluids. Even though it's starting, I think we've seen the last breath of summer. Well, it was a terrible week out there, too, for weather. And today, as I said, there was thunder. This stupid thunderstorm was nothing compared to what happened on the Jersey Shore. And there's a big place, this street, and it was really ironic, because on the news, they showed this fire, and I think the fire happened because of lightning. Lightning struck something, and it said Funland, because if you've ever been to the Jersey Shore, and many of you haven't, because you're listening to this, and you live in foreign countries, and far away places, those far, remember that song? Places. But on the Jersey Shore, where the great storm Sandy, the great misnamed storm, destructive storm Sandy, struck, there was a whole area, and there's this area called Funland, where it was still being renovated from the storm there last year. Still being renovated, still rebuilding the thing, and then this happened. And on the news, they show the sign didn't come down. Funland. So the sign for this place where they have, it's Funland. You know, what do you have in Funland? We've been there. I've been there with my boys. It's a Funland. You know, there's rides. There's booths along, you know, booths where you throw balls and hit stupid dolls or throw coins into, you know, games, ice cream stands, carving food stands. Anyway, the sign, the big sign, kind of like the Hollywoodland sign. I mean, it's like it's just on. In other words, it's not a sign. It doesn't have a backing. It just has the letters, and it's held up by some kind of trestle. And it says Funland. And behind it, this huge structure ablaze. And it crumbles. And it still says Funland. Whew. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, 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 ay. Ay. I'm going to do one of these days, because recently I watched again, although on a different level, I watched a movie called The Witches of Eastwick, which, of course, is from a famous book. Well, the movie, but I watched the movie. I may have to read the book now. I never read the book. But did some studying about the book after I saw the movie, because I watched it, you know, in another way. I watched it for its themes, its motifs, its allegories and alatifs and motgories and, you know, symbols. And there's a lot about, you know, a lot about nature. We're going to have to do a show about nature, because there's just some fascinating stuff going on. I'm just thinking about this now aloud, okay? So I'll write it down right here so that somehow remember. Show. I got both these new pens. They were cheap, but I expect them to write, you know? I'll tell you too, they're called Pentel Wows. They're cheap, but they never start writing, you know? You never just starts writing. Just put the point to paper, and I expect it to write. You know, I don't. You have to do it twice, three times. I don't know why it doesn't write immediately. Show about nature per witches of Eastwick. That'll be good. Maybe I can have a... I can get a witch on. Tom Savino knew witches. He did. There are people actually out there who are witches. Anybody knows a witch out there anywhere? Come on in. I know I've used up some time here, but that's the show. This is the show. I didn't use up... that's what I do here. I use up time. I had written, and it was a lost leader. I wrote something on Facebook just to get everybody's attention. This show could save your life. You better listen to this show. And I think that in a sense, that's not a lie. I think that I could actually defend that in front of a jury of my peers. Although my peers, my peers don't even listen to the show. They don't even listen. Most of the people who are my age and my generation are asleep by now. They're either retired or they're tired and sleeping, and they got to go to work the next morning again. So, what can I tell you? So I could defend what I just said or what I wrote there on the Facebook. By the way, it's Facebook.com/Frank Cotolo. That if you want to be my friend. Tell my friends! I said the show would save you a lot. I was just getting everybody's attention because it was a kind of scattered show. It was a solo, drum solo. This is a drum solo show, as you might be able to hear. There's no guests. When there's no guests, it's a drum solo show. Do you have your composition books out? I hope so. There's a bunch of stuff. There are some stuff though that I am going to talk about here. And on the blog, it said, I'm going to mention those things because I found some fascinating things I just read. They're passing by things. They're things that stick into your craw. I'm not going to look it up. I never did. I use it. I ain't got in my craw. You want to look it up? No, let's not look it up. Let's drink, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I'm down to one beverage and it's getting cold. You have mail. It's probably not mail concerning the show. And it's not either. Should turn that off during the show, shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I? My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. You hear Cotolo Chronicles, and we're going to break at the top of the hour, tell you a bunch of things. Go tell you more about Juice Talk. And don't forget to buy, will you go buy books? I know a couple of people have bought some books. Can you buy more? Come on, people, buy some books. I got to give credit to, what's his name? Now I list his name, Bill Scully? Here, I think that was his name. I remembered it. Bill Scurry, I didn't remember it. Bill Scurry, that on the collage, that fake deleted scene from King Kong, the 1933 version, which had many elements about it that were modern. Bill Scurry, if you want to see that again, it's on YouTube. So on YouTube, it's, you know, it's like we don't owe anybody anything, right? And by the way, speaking of not owing anybody anything, and YouTube and things coming up, I heard today that the documentary by Jeremy Long that concerns me is almost finished. So I'll have more information about that as time goes on, as the summer wanes. The summer's waning now. In fact, I heard the weather report, and it said, "Wane, it's waning." I don't mind. I go from, you see, from, there's no difference. I think Jerry Seinfeld said this, is one of the rare things I believe with him, about him, is that, you know, it's highly intellectual humor, adult humor, whatever. And then lowbrow, it's called lowbrow humor, slapstick, right down to, you know, being stupid like I was just being stupid. It's all funny. It's funny is funny. So if I make one of those jokes about the summer waning, and we are, it's funny, you laugh, everybody laughs. So I looked for some things because I didn't have anything. I never really have anything to say, I think. You are the judge of what is important in terms of anything I have said and say. Just all the campaigns are over. You know, when this started, this show, years and years ago, there were issues and topics. The web was young. This interweb that we play on, and that you're listening, this digital world. Why, when we started this, this is serious. Voyager was a little bit less, no, a little bit more than halfway out of the solar system. Yeah. So that's how antique is this show. But we had issues. There's all sorts of stuff going on with the interweb. And now it's just, now, you know, we just roll along. People fight for money and attention. But that's what they were doing in the beginning. And some of the people writing, I'll mention their names. I always give credit to people. The people who are writing some of these little articles and the stuff that I'm talking about, what I'm going to be talking about. I don't even know if they were, wow, no, they had to have been born, but they were just like little babies. Supposed to be big babies. They were babies. Oh, excuse me. It's not that warm, but my ears are sweating. By the way, is the name of my new book. It's Not That Warm, But My Ears Are Sweating by Frank Cotolo. This, I'll be going on a book tour shortly. In fact, right after this show. So maybe coming to a town near you. Not your town, a town near you. And I will be, check this out, live and in person. I just won't be live and in person. Now I don't even know if we should start this or just do this at the start of the second hour. That was my stomach. Let's see how the spider's doing. Yeah, it's amazing, too. He's just in there. Where is he in? I took a wicker basket and put it on top of him. So there's air. He's getting air. But he's in there. And it's not like I'm stopping him from doing anything. Now, it's true. I could be stopping him from food. He might be hungry. But aren't they always hungry? What do insects do? Spend their time getting stuff to eat, moving around aimlessly. unless they're, you know, members like ants are part of this gigantic community where they have to build things and the queen ant and tunnels. I mean, they're like really busy. Worker ants, army ants, soldier ants, and the queen. The diva ant. And what do flies do? They just fly around and they don't know anything. They fly around. They don't even fly around. They fly up and down, around. They just, wherever they want to go, they fly. You know, even birds have direction. Well, birds are smarter than house flies, as I think. I think we found that out. I think science has already proven that birds, the common birds, robins and sparrows and red robins and all the bobbing along birds out there are smarter. Birds are smart, and they're speaking of dinosaurs, and we weren't speaking of dinosaurs, but they were talking about it in that King Kong thing. Speaking of birds are related to dinosaurs. But if they're so smart, why do they keep flying into windows? Birds don't have the perception. Then a bird gets out of a tree, flies out of a tree, and can zip and zip around. It misses all sorts of, it misses branches, it misses cars. Sometimes it doesn't miss cars. Have you ever been driving down? I remember once in Tennessee, I was driving to work to the studio. So I worked down there in radio and TV. I was driving. I forgot the exact. Somewhere was in Nashville. Did I say? I said Tennessee. I said Nashville. I forgot the exact highway. On my way to the Grand Ole Opry building, Opryland, yeah, that whole place, and because that's where I worked, and I'm driving, I don't know, 50, 60 an hour, something like that, and a bird was flying across the highway, and it flew across the highway. At the exact moment, my car, 60 miles an hour, got in its path, and it didn't get out of the way, and it careened off my windshield. And I couldn't have done that if I chased the bird. You can't go chasing a bird with a car. Ever try to catch a chicken? You know, while it's running around, the way, you know, the runs like, hey, this way, that way, this way, that way. There's no pattern at all. And it jerks, it zigs, it zags. But the bird was flying. Isn't like there's a bird going, yeah, I'm going to fly across. It's an open space. The bird doesn't say, the bird's friend or the bird's mother or father doesn't say, hey, watch out for cars when you're flying across there. It doesn't say that. In any language, even in bird language, the bird just flies across because I got to get to that side over there. And I don't even know if there was a purpose, if it was a journey. Was the bird just flying because the bird just learned to fly? Maybe the bird was a new flyer. I don't know. It was a pretty big bird. It wasn't like a baby bird. Baby birds can't fly anyway. Was it a bird? Was it on its way across this highway, this particular space, because it wanted to get something? Or was it going home? Maybe its nest was on the other side. I have no idea. So that was actually a strange collision. That was just man getting in the way of nature. And, you know, I mean, it happens to people, too. God forbid, as they say, whatever. You know, you're crossing the street, you don't see it, and a car hits you. I know any number of people. I know a person who died being hit by a vehicle. And I know a person whose head was hit by a car, and he continued to play handball. Watch what he was doing before his head was hit by a truck. Well, that's the very famous Joe Federico story. I don't know if you can find that in the archives. But the birds keep going into, I get these huge doors in my bedroom with glass on them, these sliding doors. And the birds come out of the tree. They could escape. They fly around everything. Are they trying to come? They see me. They see the big bed. I don't know what they see, really. And then they go, I'm going in there. I'll go right here. I see it. I'm going into it. And what do they do? They careen off the glass. Boom. Bam. 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 It's a thud. Boom. It's not a bamp. It's a thud. Boom. And I once in a while, when I go out to that area near the tree, on the side of the house, which is, the bed is like on a second floor, although it's really the first floor, because of the way the grounds surround the house. When I go out there and I'll find a bird, and I'm not laughing at this, I'll find a bird corpse, and I'll know. I'll say, this bird didn't fall out of its nest because it has, you know, it had its cancer ate it alive or it had a heart attack. This bird, and I'm not going to pick it up because it's dirty, but I would bet you dollars to donuts and you buy the donuts. If I picked up the bird, I'd see the head wound. And I could probably see its eyes like in cartoon, the little X's on the eyes. I think, yeah, because that's them. Those are the birds that careen into my house. Into the glass. They don't careen into the house. Birds don't just fly into things because they can see solids. I just can't figure out. Birds, as smart as they may be, have not figured out through the years, generation after generation after generation, that there is this clear substance that makes it appear it's not there. That's called glass, plastic now, whatever. Birds don't know this. Bing, bam, they're gone. So what do they have to do? What did they have to do? They had a purpose, they had a rhyme or reason. We'll never know. What about a spider? I just corrupted his entire day. Did I or not? What does he know? Can he maybe not even think? He doesn't even remember. I'll take it. When I leave, I'll take that off. He will take the wicker basket. I'll pick it up. And he'll just go on his way as if, well, that was a long walk. He'll go. Of course he doesn't. We personify all this stuff because it's the only way we can identify with the creatures that we have no identification. We have no way of identifying with them. He just keeps going. Right now he's just thinking, oh, it got dark. Man, what is he saying? Oh, well, that was quick. It was day, now it's night. How'd that happen? And there's still light coming through you know, I don't know. That's what I'm thinking, right? But meanwhile, it's not. He's just there. If he was hungry, he's getting hungry. If he's not, he's going home. Where does he live? I don't know. In a crevice. Hi, hi, hi. It's just too much. And what am I going to do? Spend my life studying this stuff? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you about a super smart parrot. But I am going to tell you after the hour break, because we are going to take a little break. Everybody go replenish your precious, you could replenish your precious bodily fluids by getting more liquid, more beverage. You can dispose of some bodily waste. You can do whatever you want to do. Just stay with us. And you can listen to some of the stuff that we're going to play and then come back. I'll be here. My name is Frank Atolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. On Facebook, I'm facebook.frankatolo. I'm katolo.tumblr.com for funny, funny stuff. And at Twitter, of course. Did you hear Twitter's going public now? You know, everybody going to go out and run out and buy Twitter stock? At Frank Atolo. I don't know if that's case sensitive. Does anybody know that? I think it might be. No, I don't think it's case sensitive at Twitter. If you're at, I don't know. I want to meet the person who made that number sign, the number sign. I wonder if it's the same person who said that's a pound sign on a phone. It's a pound sign. That means pound, and then it's a hashtag. Who made the pound a hashtag? Why did they make an asterisk? Why is an asterisk a hashtag? An asterisk is an asterisk. They don't do anything, but that number sign is a number. It's a pound. Pound. Press the pound sign. Not the asterisk sign, you idiot. The pound sign. And we all know. Oh, that's the pound sign. The pound sign's a number sign. Number sign's a hashtag. Hashtag's a pound sign. This is Cthulhu Chronicles. You're listening to it right here, live, and on all the other stations that you listen to it. I'm sure I'm IDing them somewhere because I send all that stuff out. In the meantime, in between time, in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, we shall be right back.
Capitol Chronicles. The internet talk show from the D.O. Horse Bar.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one, a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything growing, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
Would it be crazy if you just stopped everything? Packed your bags and left for a week, a month, a year. What if you left for 2 years? Would people think you'd lost your mind? What if you were going far away to help in a village on the edge of the Gobi Desert? A village crowded with Buddhist temples, not skyscrapers. A place where there isn't a word for recluse, but 1,000 words for community. Would it be crazy to go 5,000 miles from home? To spend time with people the rest of the world only reads about. To build libraries and fill them with stories. Prepare a meal with food you helped grow. To teach children and learn a thing or two about yourself. Would that be crazy? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Hey girls, we know what's hot. When a guy respects a girl enough to ask and doesn't just try to make a move on us. We don't want to be pushed, pressured, or persuaded to have sex. We can make up our own minds. And when we say no, we mean no, not maybe or I need to be convinced more. It doesn't matter what we're wearing, what we've done in the past, or whether or not we said yes but then changed our mind. It's hot when guys respect our decision. If they don't and try to force groping or sex, it's illegal. That's right. Groping or sex without our permission is illegal. And any guy who tries to get away with it can get arrested for sexual assault. And that's on his record permanently. Hey, real men respect. And respect is hot. Respect! For information about sexual assault, log on to WCASA.org. That's WCASA.org. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the Wisconsin Department of Health and Family Services, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
This is Brad Coleman, driver of the number 18 car for Joe Gibbs Racing. Our races include enthusiastic fans enjoying great racing, fantastic food, and in some cases, too much alcohol. Be a true fan and take the keys if someone has been drinking, and always have a designated driver. Losing a race is no fun, but it's nothing compared to causing a crash and losing your life or taking the life of another person. So remember, if you're over the limit, you will be under arrest.
Brought to you by the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety.
Ladies and gentlemen, the chief hope of our enemies is to divide the United States along racial and religious lines and thereby conquer us. Let's not spread prejudice. A divided America is a weak America. Through our behavior, we encourage the respect of our children and make them better neighbors to all races and religions. Remind them that being good neighbors has helped make our country great and kept her free. Thank you.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. The people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, gone to dawn, it's radio that turns them on. People's choice, East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes us see.
Yes. I wonder what's at the end of that. There's a tag that just sounds like, it's going to wake up, it's night. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name joins the title of this show. And this show is the one and only Cotolo Chronicles because I am chronicling. I moved the wicker baskets. like as if I shook up what I already corrupted in the life of this huge spider, a tarantula. See, but that's just, you know, tarantula, let me tell all you people, if you don't know this, here's a piece of culture. Tarantula is the same as, there's an Italian song, and it's a dance. It's called a tarantella. Tarantella. Tarantella in Italian. In English, that means tarantula. And the tarantella, which is a famous dance where people, it goes like, dan 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 dan, everyone's heard, dan 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 dan, right? The tarantella. Do we know it? Do I have to find it for you? The tarantella means tarantula. Yeah, that was a terrible rendition. Here, wait a minute. I didn't expect. Tarantula song? No. Here. Tarantella. Just the song? Let's see. Hold on. I think this is the. Yeah, this. I think I'm just looking for. Let's see if this is it. I don't know. You know, you'd go to YouTube and you just hit stuff. Here comes. There it is. This is La Tarantella, okay? It means the tarantula. This is the cultural. Oh, he's singing. He's talking. He's talking about, because they used to dance, and the dance was to step on the tarantulas. I don't know what he's saying. I'm not that good. And I played in wedding bands, and this is a gigantic. So everybody did the tarantella. And the tarantella. That's the one I picked, huh? I don't know why I picked that one, but. Okay, let's go to this one here. This Sicilian? What does it say? Sicilian? Oh, tarantella siciliana. How to get to this? Listen to this. Oh, yeah. See, they're a different tarantella tarantula song. This makes it sound like at one point in Italy there was this scourge of tarantulas, just like they had the potato famine and they had the rats in the what's the guy, the Pied Piper thing? The rats came. All right. That's not the one we're thinking. I don't even like this one. We never had to play this one. Let me turn this off. I don't know how. Yeah, all right, okay. No, so you get the point. I'm even tarantula, so I'm saying. But when we think about giant spiders, we, of course, think about tarantulas. Or la tarantelas. Huh? Too many windows open here. Okay. So here we are. Let's go to. I was going to talk about a tarantula. Should I talk that first? Yeah, I'll do that first, and we'll move on to the parrot. Because in Sri Lanka, of all places, which is a wonderful name, right? Sri Lanka. This whole show started off with spiders, and this gigantic spider showed up. You know what my mother would have said? He heard you talking about him. That's why he came out. The spiders don't come out. He heard you talking about him. And then you killed that little one. That, well, I didn't want to kill the little one, but he's so small. And he was on my desk. And then the other night, one of them was crawling up my arm in bed, and I knocked him off. I didn't kill him. I just literally knocked him off. And then there was one I didn't kill. I was sitting right here writing, as I do, and one of them found its way onto my shoulder. They didn't bite me. But see, what happens is they come down from the ceiling. Okay. But anyway, in Sri Lanka, which you spell without an H, but you say it, Sri Lanka, and Lan, L-A-N-K, Ka, not Lanka, Sri Lanka, they discovered what they think is a new giant tarantula. How big? Do you know what someone told me once? There are 16 million different varieties, as opposed to same varieties. There are just a gigantic number of variations of spiders. Species, is that called? Genus, species, types. A new type of tarantula, just like we just heard of the Sicilian tarantella, is a different, they stepped on them differently in Sicily than they did in Rome or Napoli. A new type of tarantella about the size, listen to this, this is what was good. This new tarantella they found is the size of your face. The size of your face. To us, that's giant. Now, you put your hand over your face and obviously over your mouth. That's how big this one. It's been found in northern Sri Lanka. I don't know why they never found this before, but scientists found the spiders, and this is a leg span. You could find about, it's going to be like 8 inches. It was living in trees and the old doctor's quarters of a hospital in Mankulam. Living in the doctor's quarters of a hospital in Mankulam in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is not a big country. It was covered in beautiful ornate markings. The spiders belong to the genus. Hey, I was right. I said genus. Remember, I don't read these things before. Genus. And I can't say it. Poecilotheria. Poecilotheria. I think I just did say it. Poecilotheria. That's a very pretty name. Poecilotheria. Have you met my daughter, Poecilotheria? Poecilotheria, please come forth. And they call them, because they don't know. They don't know how to, they don't like saying it either. It's a beautiful name. That's a beautiful word. No, they call them pokies. Those scientists, spider-searching scientists, all those kids. They're tiger spiders. An arboreal group indigenous to India and Sri Lanka. They're known for being very colorful, fast, and, here it is, venomous, poisonous. And if it's not poisonous, what big deal? I mean, if it gets on your face, Anyway, the Pokies. The Pokies. Remember the Hokey Pokey? That was a stupid song we used to do at weddings in the old days. The Hokey Pokey. You put your left foot out, you put your left foot in, you put your left foot out, and you shake it all about. That's, you do the Hokey Pokey. Now, the Hokey Pokey is not putting your leg in and out. The Hokey Pokey is when you turn yourself around. That's the Hokey Pokey. But before you do that Hokey Pokey, which is like you just turn yourself around while you dance, you know, in a circle. Not in a circle. You dance 360 degrees in the same spot. That's the Hokey Pokey. And I don't know why it's called the Hokey Pokey. But before you do it, you have to put your left foot in and your left foot out and your left foot out and shake it all about. Then you do the Hokey Pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Now, there's controversy here too, because the way people move their hands really is the Hokey Pokey. Because listen to the lyrics. The Hokey Pokey is not putting your left foot in and your left foot out and shaking it all about. And it's not turning yourself around. It's doing the Hokey Pokey. That's when you take your hands and you kind of, I don't even know how to pronounce, I wish I could show you now. You don't shake them. You move them around as far as you can. You know, you can, and constantly, I can't show you this. I don't have a description for this. It's kind of like you're waving, but you're doing it sideways. That's the Hokey Pokey. Put your left foot in, put your left foot out, put your left foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the Hokey Pokey with your hands, and you turn yourself around. And that's what it's all about. You think I'm kidding you? I don't think you do you not know about this? Because this may, if you don't know about this, this is a pop culture thing. And I always hated this song. And I know I could find it here. I hate it. Here it is, Loki. And it says dance for children. And yet, here's the Hokey Pokey song original. Ray Anthony did the original. Hokey Pokey. Ray Anthony. Let's see the song for kids. So maybe this will tell us what the actual Hokey Pokey, what is the actual Hokey Pokey? Oh, we don't want to see an advertisement here. No, you shut up. Let's go over here, skip that. Let's go right to the Hokey Pokey. There it is. There you go. All right, I wonder if this is it. I hear this. Get your right hand out. Okay. So they're doing, okay, their Hokey Pokey is pointing your finger and up and down. I see, there's all different interpretations of the Hokey Pokey. You put your left hand in, you put your left hand out. I hate it, I still hate it. We used to have to play that. What is this Ray Anthony Hokey Pokey? In high definition, no less. Here's the very best of Ray Anthony. Oh, no.
You shake it all about. You do the Hokey Pokey and you turn yourself around.
And you turn.
That's what it's all about.
You want to know what it's all about? That's
you
it.
Put your left foot in, you put your left foot
and,
out.
You know, the people at the wedding, they're half drunk while they're doing this. But they don't. They just know. They think the whole thing is the Hokey Pokey. That's what it's all about. Is there a refrain? Your right arm. You're doing this with all your appendages. Oh, now almost. You do the Hokey Pokey and you turn yourself around because that's what it's all about.
Left arm.
You put your left arm in. You put your left.
The guy has to say left arm when they start singing it. Don't you hear them say left arm?
You do the Hokey Pokey and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
I hate it.
You put your right elbow.
You put your elbow.
You put your right elbow up.
All right, let's now that we know what it's all about, let's move on. I never expected to get to the Hokey Pokey. But, you know, since we're talking about the tarantella and then stepping in a giant tarantula, you know, you don't have time to do whatever the Hokey Pokey might be. The thing with the fingers, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? Maybe that's the Hokey Pokey. There must be an exact definition of the Hokey Pokey somewhere. Let's go back to the Poecilotheria, the Pokies, not the Hokey Pokies, but the Pokies. this new spider named after a, and then they named it after a local police inspector. It's Poecilotheria rajae. Rajae. They named it after a local police inspector because he helped the team navigate post-Civil War northern Sri Lanka. They just picked this guy right out of the history of Sri Lanka and said, let's name that tarantula after him. It's got, what does it have, this? Well, just gigantic thing. Like they can, differs from similar species, different than other pokies, in the markings on its legs and underside. The species has enough significant differences to separate it from the others. I guess that's what they have to do. Taxonomic determinations based on physical descriptions can provoke disagreement. So someone says this isn't the... Oh, boy. They even argue. There's people arguing over the spiders. Tarantulas. Maybe tarantulas are in the genus of spiders. It's a spider. Giant spiders. A giant tarantula. They call it tarantula. They don't call it a spider. Otherwise, it would be this spiderella. Do it as la spiderella. No, tarantula. I don't know much else about this. It's like they just found this thing, and it's a new species, right? So the guy said, this is a quote, they are quite rare. I like them well done myself. Hey, can I have some of those pokies? Can I have some fried pokies? So there he is. It's all the rage in Sri Lanka these days. Hey, they cut, you know, they get these 8-inch legs. Let me have some. Let me have some pokey legs. It's like we have buffalo wings. They have. Where was it? Where did they find it? Mankulam wings. Mankulam wings. Have some Mankulam legs. Have some legs. Mankulam legs. Come on. Come on. I'm that is like you don't speak like that, like the Indian speakers of Sri Lanka. Is that why they speak anyway? I don't know. I keep hearing Indian stuff in my head. They prefer these pokies, these new tarantula pokies, giant face monsters, face large monsters, prefer well-established older trees. But due to the, and there's a lot of deforestation apparently in Sri Lanka because they're building what, hotels? I don't know. The number has dwindled, due to lack of suitable habitat. Oh, because there's nowhere to go. They go into old buildings, and that's why they were found in an old doctor's quarters in the hospital. They just found a place and let's make this home. So for all I know, my I call them a tarantula, but he's not on the floor there. He's probably a water spider or whatever, a garden spider. I don't think he's venomous. This thing's venomous. How could this thing not be venomous? You say something that large? Imagine walking in the woods. Are there woods? There's no woods. There's deforestation. Imagine you're walking in the hospital. You're in this hospital, which is still up. It doesn't say it's a closed. It's an old doctor's quarters in the hospital. It doesn't say the hospital is closed. So the Rajai, Poecilotheria Rajai, can't find a tree, goes into the old doctor's quarters. Now you're walking, imagine something happened to you, you had a procedure, and you're in the hospital, and you're walking, you're feeling good today, feeling well today, and you're walking down the corridor, and then from out of this room, dark room, which was the old doctor's quarters, this gigantic monster crawls out. You know, wait a second, it couldn't crawl unless the door was open. Something that large cannot get underneath. Spiders aren't like rats. Rats can get in and out of very, very slim spaces because they don't have bones. Well, they have bones, but they're not brittle bones. They bend. They're like rubber bones, like rubber bands. I don't know. Well, anyway, you're not going to be there. Right? But anyway, that's the giant tarantula that was found. And It puts its eight inch leg in, and it shakes it all about. Then it does the hokey pokey and it turns itself around. That's what this tarantula is all about. My name is Frank Cotolo. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of this show. This is Cotolo Chronicles, and we have a drum solo show here on Y2K Plus 13. Every time I say that, I think myself, what the hell? What the hell happened? How did we get here? Why'd you give us 13? 12th of... Try to remember the 12th of September, the time that we lived and the time we would die. Try to... Is that from the Fantastics? Not the way I sang it. It was fantastic that I even thought of it. Speaking of fantastic, one more spider. Let's do a spider thing. We'll go backwards and we'll get to the parrot. Well, listen to this. This I thought fascinating for a number of reasons. Because remember we named, remember that they found that Sri Lanka tarantula and named him after a local police inspector who helped the team navigate post-Civil War northern Sri Lanka. The team of scientists, I guess they mean. So he named it after him. He navigated them? He showed them what? Here's the hospital. You go to the hospital. I don't know that's how he speaks. I don't know. I just make a character comes out of my mouth. What do you want from me? I'm not going to tell you the name of this new spider until I talk to you about this. But let me tell you about this other spider. They found another spider. I made a mistake. I thought he is named after. I thought this guy's name was James Bond. It's Jason Bond. I thought the biologist's name was James Bond. I read it quickly when I got the piece of information. James Bond, the name James Bond that was used in Ian Fleming's famous character, was an ornithologist, a guy who studied birds. Speaking of birds and stupid birds and banging into things and the birds. Is that an ornithologist, an ornithologist, an ornithologist? You know what I'm talking about. Guy, that's James Bond. He wrote a book called The Wonderful World of Birds or something. And Ian Fleming said, there's a name, I'll use that. I like that name. It's short and it's kind of insignificant. And that's what he wanted, a very common insignificant name. He didn't want James Bond to be anything but anonymous. So he used the name James Bond. That's a little bit of neo-postmodernism for you, too. See how this stuff, everything comes from somewhere else. Everything comes from something else. So this guy, Jason Bond, who is an East Carolina University biologist, could be James Bond's brother, right? Jason Bond? Okay. He's making himself a name in science because he found a new species of spider. Now, this spider is called a trapdoor spider. I don't know why. I have no idea. A trapdoor spider. He found this in Alabama last year, and he started to publish a paper about it with the curator of the American Museum of Natural History in New York. That man's name is Norman Platnick. Norman I. Platnick. Norman I. Whatever the I stands for. Irving. Ignatius. Norman Ignatius Platnick. Anyway, I don't know if he's the curator of the American Museum of Natural History. I remember going there the first time I ever went there as a kid. That was like a big thing. Because we lived in Brooklyn, and they were taking us on a field trip. We're going to go to the... I don't remember the teacher that took us. I remember all the teachers I had, but I don't... Well, most of them, but I don't remember that teacher. And it was a big thing. You had to get things signed at home. We're taking him to the American Museum of Natural History, which meant we had to go into Manhattan. A lot of us kids in that time did not know or go to Manhattan. We didn't know anything about Manhattan. That was where the Empire State Building... Speaking of that, that's King Kong. It's all we knew. King Kong. See how this stuff comes together? So this guy, Jason Bond, wrote this book with him. When it came time to name the discovery, so he finds, it is what happens, what they just like the other one, just like the Raji, you find the spider and you say, that's not a spider, because you know spiders. I mean, if you're a biologist, like, you know spiders, you go, that's not a spider I've ever seen before. Even though there's 16 million species and genus species, and there's all the, and you know, are these guys so smart that they can identify every one of these 16 million spiders or anything? So that when they see, they go, oh, I've never seen one like that before. That's not one of the 16 million I know. Nah, that's a completely different one. Right? I mean, like, is that what they do? That's an entirely different spider. They certainly don't do it that way. They don't speak that way. Well, however he decides that this is a brand new spider, and then he has to capture one, and then he has to bring it to the spider board. I don't know. What do you do? I got something. Where do you go? There must be a board of spider identifiers or something, the BSI. I'm going to bring this, I captured this thing, I got to bring it, this is how he sounds to me now. I'm going to bring this over to the BSI, a board of spider identifiers, and find out if this species actually exists, because it sure as heck don't look like anything I've ever seen. And then they go, and what, do they have these big books, or do they know too? Do they just know, like, well, you're right, the BSI has to study this now, and we're going to look through the Annals of Spider Identification History. And they have all these books. There's a library. The BSI has a library. And you go in there and it's got pictures and descriptions of all the spiders that have been found around the world. Therefore, it knows if the spider that Jason Bond has brought to the BSI is new or not. And how big is this board? Is it three people who know about spiders? Or does it take 10 people to know all of, maybe they separate, there's 16 million species of spiders, let's say. Let's say they separate it. There's 10 people. Each one of them knows 16,000. Well, however you do that math, that would be, no, that would be 106, no, no, 60, no, is 16 million divided by 10? I don't want to do math now. Well, it'd be 1/10. It'll be 160,000. Each one of them knows 160,000 species. And there's 10 members of the board. That covers the 16 million they know about. And their books, so they can back up their own knowledge. Is that how it works? How the hell did Julian Bond, who was an author. That's right. He was an author named Julian Bond. He did that book on sign language, I think. And he did a book on the Beatles that everyone said, that's not authorized. He did a non-authorized biography of the Beatles. And then he also, Julian Bond also did, am I even thinking about the same person? Am I thinking about the guy who used to do cooking? Now I'm really confused. But what did this guy Jason Bond do? You know, that's what's missing from these articles, as far as I'm concerned. I have too many questions. Or did he just bring him to this Norman Platnick, whose middle name might be Ignatius? Did he bring it to him? And this guy knows them all?
Oh, yeah, that's new, Jason. You're right. We better publish something on that. That's new.
I mean, who is it up to find out if a spider has been found or not? Okay. And however they did it, however they verified it, however this process works, they did it. Bond reached not into the annals of science to find a name for his new spider, but to the annals of music, pop music. I'm going to try to pronounce this before I give you the name. But the first, it's Myrmecophila. Let me write this down phonetically. Why doesn't this pen work like a pen? You know, you Pentel people. Come on! And this screensaver goes on. Everything goes wrong at once. Everything happens at once, no matter what. Myrmecophila. Oh, you know, I'm the all-time idiot. Of all idiots. I said I'm going to write it phonetically, so I copy it. And it is phonetic. Marmi Kiafila. You ready for this? He named it Meyer Me Kiafilia Neil Youngie. Why should you put an I at the end of Neil Young's name? He names it after Neil Young. Meyer Me Kiafilia Neil Youngie. I don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say. While it was Young's diverse sonic offerings, writes Scott Thrill in this article, and that's his real name. Unless it's a pen name, and if it's a pen name and it's a Pentel name, then it doesn't immediately write. But Scott Thrill. Oh, it's Thill. I'm putting letters where they shouldn't be. Which is the name of my new book. I'm putting letters where they should not be by Frank Cotomo. I'll be at Bookbusters, Bookmasters, and Book Designers over the next 3 weeks promoting. Okay. It was Neil Young's diverse, he calls them sonic offerings, music. It was Neil Young's music that initially attracted Bond to the idea. What idea? The idea of looking for the spider? This doesn't even make any sense. Scott, what idea? It says, while it was Young's diverse sonic offerings that initially attracted Bond to the idea. What idea? The idea of looking for the spider or naming him? Oh, naming. I guess they mean naming him. This is not clear. I have like a score of other questions as I did when I read the other thing, and now I don't... It was the Canadian Legends track record on sociopolitics that clinched the deal. Jason Bond said that, and don't ask me why, which isn't even a song, that's a Billy Joel song. And why is Billy Joel getting the Kennedy Award? It's another story. This story is that this guy, Jason Bond, finds, follow me on this, this guy, Jason Bond, finds a spider. Somehow he knows it's a spider never been seen before. It's a new species. He gets it approved, so he has to name it. He sits back and says, you know, I like Neil Young's music, but I like Neil Young's politics better. So I'm going to name my spider after Neil Young. And what is that? And then I don't know why he has to put an I at the end of his name. Neil Youngie or Young I? Is it trying to be, is that Latin? I mean, you put an I at the end of Neil Young's name and make it one word, it becomes Latin? Is that how that works? I don't know. Meyer Me Kiafilia Neil Youngie is the name of the spider. I really enjoy his music, Bond says, and have had great appreciation of him as an activist for peace and justice. And isn't that how we all look at Neil Young? Now, I guess he could have named it after... Now, if this guy... And just think about this for a second. Of course, there's no comment. You know, how could there not... There's no comment from Neil Young. You write an article. Don't you think they could try to get a hold of Neil Young and say, hey, Neil, what do you think about... this new spider, named after you because of your political slant. What would he say? Neil Young would say what? Is that how Neil Young talks? I don't know. Just how he sings, yeah. Oh, man, look at my spider. He's named after me. Oh, for dead in Ohio, doing a tarantula. Tarantella. Then Neil Young singing the tarantella. Forget it. Move on here. My name is Frank Cotomo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotomo Chronicles. I'm chronicling some things the way, and you know, the news, these items aren't as important as how you look into them. And that's the way it is with all of the things. But if you want to know what it's all about, this is just This is just how you, but what it's all about. You know what you do.
You do the hokey pokey.
You want to know what it's all about? That.
That's what it's all about.
Doing the hokey pokey and turning yourself around.
Your left elbow
in.
You get your left elbow in and you shake it.
This is Neil Young singing the hokey pokey.
And you turn yourself around. That's what it's all.
Head.
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 And you shake it all about.
And you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around.
Because that's what it's all about. Okay. Hi, 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 hi. Now all this and the main story. The main story, the story I wanted to really base. See, it just goes to show you. I had in mind didn't work out. This worked out. This is fine. This is another Cotolo Chronicles for posterity. Don't you love that name? For posterity. A super smart parrot died. Let me tell you about this. Because apparently they test them. And you know when we did that show with Tom Savino, we were talking about animals and how much they know, how like human they are in a certain way. If you didn't listen to that, go find it somewhere. It's at Juice Talk Radio. No, Juice Talk Radio, juicetalk.com. There's a parrot named Alex. I should say there was a parrot named Alex. Now we all know that parrots are great mockers, and we know they mock, they talk. It's just an amazing thing. They're all really ventriloquists in a sense. Not that they throw their voice, but they are able to pronounce things, and they got a beak. They don't have lips. They don't have a flexible mouth, and yet they speak and say consonants. They pronounce, they pronounce words exactly without lips. That's my next book. It's not ready yet. Without Lips by Frank Cotolo. Alex was possibly the smartest and most famous parrot. So you probably know him already because they say he's the most famous parrot. He's dead. He died last week. At 31 years old. I don't know. I thought 31 was young for a... Is 31 young for a parrot? There's another book title. Is 31 young for a parrot to die? Anyway, it says here, he was a research subject for scientists at Harvard, and they were amazed by his ability to learn language. Alex could differentiate colors and shapes, and he knew more than 100 words in English. It's important to him. I wonder if he had a... I wonder, since he was in Harvard, I wonder if he had a Boston accent. I wonder if he said, Pak Baka, or spoke like any of the main characters in the movie The Departed. Dr. Irene Pepperberg, I did not make that name up. It's not from one of my books or stories. Dr. Irene Pepperberg bought Alex from a pet store in 1977. This is what was written about Alex in the New York Times. Alex showed surprising facility. For example, when shown a blue paper triangle, he could tell an experimenter what color the paper was, what shape it was, and after touching it, what it was made of. And I could tell you right now, all you people, that's the worst and most incorrect, grammatically incorrect sentence I've read in a long time. And that was in the New York Times. No wonder they published Putin. He could tell the experimental... You want to do this sentence right, or don't you care? You just want to know about Alex. I can't quote the New York... I'm going to quote the New York Times if they're going to write like that. Alex was able to tell the color of the paper of a blue paper triangle. He knew it was a triangle, and he touched it and knew the material that made the blue paper triangle. He knew it was paper. He said, that's paper. Paper, paper, paper. He could have sold, he could have put him on the corner of 23rd and Lexington. Paper, 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 paper. And he would have sold papers. A guy, imagine that. That would have been a great thing, especially in New York. Nobody would have thought twice about it. A guy with a parrot on his shoulder, who wasn't a pirate, and he sold newspapers at the time when they did that. Paper, paper, paper. Guy never says anything. Paper. You can even teach him. You could have taught Alex. Read all about it. Paper. Get your paper. So this guy, he was on this Alex, this guy. Alex was on, what was he on? He was on nature shows. He was on PBS. That's the pretentious broadcasting system. He was on the BBC, which is the British broadcasting system, unless you're looking at porn. Entirely different meaning. Alex shared scenes with actor Alan Alda on the pretentious broadcasting system series called Look Who's Talking. And I thought that was the John Travolta film, which was done by Amy Heckerling, who I remember from way back in Hollywood. I don't know. Look Who's Talking. I was the moment of the baby of John Travolta. Well, I have to do it. There was a pretentious broadcasting system show called Look Who's Talking. What was that about? So, I don't watch it, and I don't subscribe to pretentious broadcasting system. So I don't know. So he said, let's see, he was an African gray parrot. He was written about many times. And Irene, did I say Irene? Yes, Dr. Irene Pepperberg talked and wrote about how Alex apparently figured out, and this is it, the meaning of none. Now think about this. You people who are, are scared or frightened, which is the same thing, or intimidated by imagining the scope, the depth, the volume of Voyager leaving the solar system, and so you're going to watch baseball or something. I mean, think about those of you, think about this. A parrot figured out the meaning of none. Not N-U-N. I'm not talking about a Catholic nun. And I'm talking about N-O-N-E, none. He figured out the meaning of none. I'm going into my, yes, I am. I'm going, he figured this out without, he figured this meaning. I'm going to look at right here. None by himself. He is none. Pronounced the same as the Catholic nun, N-U-N, none, N-O-N-E. Here's the, it's a pronoun. Not any, as I have none. Adverb, in no way, not at all. As none the worse for wear. None. None. Not any. That's a concept. As it's a word. It's a pronoun. It's an adverb. But there's a bird. Alex the parrot figured out. Now, she doesn't say anything here. But here's the fascinating, the part that I really find mind-blowing. You know, I don't like to say that. I don't mind.
It blew my mind.
I don't like that. I don't like the image of mind-blowing. It reminds me of, like, tumors and because they used to say, it makes a mind, not brain, but the mind is in the brain. Aneurysms. I just think of aneurysms when people say mind, but I don't like it. I like to say mind-blowing, brain-blowing. And I knew a few people who died that way. So it's disturbing to me. This is fascinating. Alex was, they say, the smartest parrot. He died. He said something. His dying words. Listen to this. This is recorded, documented, verified, authorized. This is now history. Alex, the smartest parrot in the world, said just before he checked out, just before he signed off, just before he went into the great unknown, the vast, eternal, endless blackness that awaits us all, he said, and I quote, "You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you." Yes. Yes, I gave you a dynamic pause. Alex's dying words. "You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you." And there's something I will never forget. I will never, ever forget that. I hope that I'm not stricken with anything that so destroys my memory that I do forget it, but consciously, I will not forget that. That is great. And I'm glad I left this for the final story of the three stories as we move into the final minutes of our show on this Y2K plus 13. Because that's, I want you all to pass that story on, okay? Write it down and quote them. Maybe this is something you need to say while you're alive. I mean, we don't know what Alex was thinking because he knew 100 words. He knew concepts. He knew none. Think about this. He knew the meaning of none and emptiness. He understood the concept of emptiness, of not having, not seeing, of nothing. He had a concept of that. He's a parrot. He was a parrot. Trying to look up here again what forgot already. What type of parrot? He was a parrot. He was a African gray parrot. Alex, the parrot, knew enough to say, "You'll be good. See you tomorrow. I love you." Let's all use that, even though I don't end my show that way. Let's all use Alex's phrase for everyone. Can't hurt. Even if you say it snidely to somebody you don't like, and when you leave them, or whatever. Even if you don't want to talk to somebody, you just want to leave them at any given point. Say that. Let's use that. Let's take that phrase and make it go viral, as they say. Because Alex was on to something. Alex was on to something. And that little beady little African gray parrot brain was dying. Made a decision to say one last thing before his breath had expired along with the rest of him. That parrot corpse to be said, I'm not joking. Of course, I'm always serious Let's do that. Write them down. Write this down, as Dr. Fablionic would say, in your book, on your hand, anywhere, the back of your wallet, back of a dollar bill, whatever you got, a ticket, napkin, your cronies notebook. And do this. Let's do it. Who knows? Well, you know it's not going to do any harm. Let's say to everyone we leave, wherever we go from now on, you be good. See you tomorrow. I love you. You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you. I don't care how you mean it. I don't care if you mean it. I don't care how you say it, loud, soft. Let's say that to everyone and nothing else until the next time we see them, of course, or whatever. Or maybe we'll never see them again. Maybe somebody you don't even know. Alex was on to something and we may never know. But I think that we should take the advice of a terminated African gray parrot. Hey, when you're on the phone, how about that? Even on the phone, even if you're not to a telemarketer, or are you not even talking, just say, what? Say it again. You'll be good. See you tomorrow. I love you. Even if you don't want them to be good, even though you might not see them tomorrow. See? My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Here in Cotolo Chronicles, and we'll be back next week. In the meantime, in between time, go to the blog to find out what's going on. Become my friend on Facebook. That's me, Frank Cotolo. At Frank Cotolo. Can't miss me, because they'll say, someone will yell.
That's Mr. Cotolo over there, you know what I mean?
And you'll know that it's me here. So you could tweet me, direct message me, write me there, fcotolo@yahoo.com. If you want to IM me or you want to send me email, go over there. I hope you wrote it down. I'm not going to let this one go. You'll be good. See you tomorrow. I love you. Alex, the parrot, who is now probably out there in the solar system's edge. Okay. That's the deal with that for now. So everybody take care of yourselves. Good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you are. It's about time. We'll be in touch. You'll be good. See you tomorrow. I love you. I have nothing more to say.
小村到大市，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心，是 Cthulhu Chronicles。